Hi, I'm Philip Anthony Albertelli, and welcome to The Week in Doubt, a podcast for atheists, agnostics, and whoever. And today's episode, which is episode 58, by the way, is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/theweekindoubt. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, Android, or MP3 player. Before we get started, I'd like to thank Trent Voigt for liking the Week in Doubt Facebook page. Okay, now on to the show. So unless you've spent the last week living like a cave hermit, you're probably aware of the Boston Marathon bombing and the surreal and harrowing manhunt that followed. The ordeal is now, thankfully, over, having ended with the death of one of the perpetrators and the capture of the other. But maybe that was a little insensitive of me. For the families of the four deceased, the three killed as a result of the bombing, and the MIT officer slain by the two fugitives, the ordeal isn't over. Their struggle with loss has just begun. And then there's the scores of critically wounded survivors, many who've lost limbs, who will most likely spend the rest of their lives dealing with the aftermath of their injuries. The ordeal isn't over for them either. This whole thing has hit kind of close to home for me. Thankfully, I didn't personally lose anyone, but one of the three who died as a result of the bombing, 29-year-old Crystal Campbell, was from the town where my brother and his wife live. Some of you may have seen graphic images of a man in a wheelchair who had both his legs blown off. He's actually from a nearby town where a good friend of mine lives. And Watertown, where the manhunt ended, I've actually worked there a few times doing remodeling work with my father and brother. If you're a regular listener, then you're probably aware that I'm from the greater Boston area. I'm actually from the same small New England town as Amy Poehler. On a good day when traffic's not bad, I could probably reach Boston by car in about 20 minutes or so. I remember the day of the bombing. I had worked a half day with my father. I came home, took a nap with the TV on, and woke up not sure if I had been dreaming or not. I was hearing all this stuff about explosions at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. I picked up my iPad, I think it was, and tried to find out more about what was happening. I found an article about the bombing on the Huffington Post, and I noticed an attached slideshow, so I clicked on it, and all of a sudden I'm looking at these jaw-droppingly gruesome images. Sidewalks awash with blood, people with legs so damaged they were crumpled or folded under them like the limbs of a rag doll, and most shockingly were the images of the man in the wheelchair I mentioned earlier. I had never seen anything like it. Both legs were gone below the knee, and what looked like about a foot-long segment of splintered leg bone, stripped of meat, was jutting out of one of the ravaged stumps. Hopefully that didn't sound too graphic. You may have seen censored versions of the image on the news. There's this brave Hispanic-American man in a cowboy hat who had actually lost a son in Iraq. His name slips my mind at the moment, I apologize. He was helping the man in the wheelchair. I mistakenly thought he was holding a rubber tourniquet or something wrapped around the man's legs, but turns out he was actually clamping the man's femoral artery shut, or so I hear. And the man in the wheelchair, amazingly, seems to be completely conscious, completely awake. I just can't imagine what the guy and all the other victims who had lost limbs were going through. The whole thing just seems so horrific and surreal. It's funny. I've always been very pro-freedom of expression, very anti-censorship. Maybe it has something to do with being someone who's involved in artistic pursuits or whatever. And I'm someone who fully embraces this age of internet technology we live in. But those pictures did make me at least ask myself the question, is it right to show graphic images of victims like that? I've heard differing opinions. Some say it's disrespectful to the victims. Others say as disturbing as they are, it's good for us to see the unsanitized images because maybe they help to shock us out of our complacency and drives home just what's at stake when dealing with terrorism. I'm not sure where I stand, but such images definitely do make you feel for the victims, to say the least. I think it's probably one of the downsides of the internet that now any one of us, including a child, could click a mouse or tap an iPad and be face-to-face with gory sights that otherwise you would only see on a battlefield. What detrimental effects such images might have on the psyche, especially that of a developing child, I don't know. So this is a show that usually focuses on religion from a skeptical point of view. So you might be wondering, do I think religion had anything to do with this horrific event? Well, obviously on some level it did, because the two brothers responsible for the marathon bombing, at least one of them, has basically said as much. It's the 22nd of April as I'm recording this, and we got news tonight that the surviving brother, the younger of the two, is now responding to questions and has said that they were inspired by religious fervor. Religious fervor being the words used in the news report I was watching. I believe it was CNN. But obviously, religion usually isn't the only factor in situations like this. I also believe these guys were young and stupid, and the older brother seems to have had a chip on his shoulder. Often in cases like this, whether it's a terror attack or a Columbine-style school shooting, it usually seems to turn out that the perpetrators viewed themselves as being marginalized or wrong somehow. The older of the brothers in this case supposedly complained he had been living here a decade and didn't have a single American friend. But conversely, the younger brother, by all accounts, was fairly normal prior to this and even popular. I still think the young brother, Johar, initially people were pronouncing it as Jokar, or whatever his name is, still has everything that's coming to him and more. But my guess is, objectively speaking, his brother probably self-radicalized first, and then Johar got sucked into his older brother's sick little world of self-perceived marginalization and religious zealotry. So I guess the next question is, do I think Islam is an inherently evil or wicked religion? Well, as anyone who listens to the show regularly knows, I'm kind of a kinder, gentler brand of atheist or non-believer, or at least hopefully that's how I come across. I'm very quick to criticize religion when it comes to pointing out its contradictions, inconsistencies, or in general its man-made nature. But I'm also quick to admit when I admire or like something about a given religion. When it comes to Islam and Islamic culture, I've long been an admirer of things like the poetry of Rumi, the work of the great Islamic scholars of the Middle Ages, the creation of some of the most beautiful art and architecture in the world. But obviously, the fundamentalist brand of Islam we're dealing with today, not very enlightened. Threatening and carrying out violence for drawing cartoons of the Prophet, attacking embassies around the world, beheading live captives, just ugly barbaric stuff. But of course it should go without saying that not all Muslims are fundamentalists. Well, back to the question, do I think Islam is inherently wicked? Well, I would probably put the Judeo-Christian Bible and the Quran in the same category. Both ancient books, the Quran the newer of the two, of course, both containing some bits of moral wisdom and inspirational verse, but also both containing a hell of a lot of ancient superstition, outdated thinking, and a heck of a lot of violence and barbarism. Christians would probably argue that Jesus was more peaceful than Muhammad, and that's probably true. Jesus was kind of this wandering teacher who spoke about turning the other cheek and rendering unto Caesar, whereas Muhammad was a warrior. So I think the Bible and the Quran are both double-edged swords. How they're used depends on whose hands they're in and who's doing the interpreting, the cherry-picking, and who's emphasizing which verses. But all of this reminds me of a controversial clip I recently uploaded to YouTube. I don't think I realized how controversial it would be. Here and there, I'll upload a clip from a show or documentary that I think might help draw eyes to the Weekend Out YouTube channel. So I took an excerpt from this past Friday's Real Time with Bill Maher, where Bill is debating an individual named Brian Levin about the nature of Islam. Bill, as you can imagine, was the one being critical of religion, in this case Islam, and Brian Levin was doing the defending. Despite the fact that I'm a non-believer, I wasn't personally trying to be anti-Muslim with my posting of the video. I just thought the discussion was kind of timely and interesting, so I upped it without expressing any bias and simply said, feel free to discuss. The clip already has over 8,000 views, and there are some really heated comments on there. And usually I'll often reply the comments left in response to videos I've posted, but this time I was like, damn, I'm staying out of this. The comments were pretty hardcore. So maybe I've piqued your curiosity, so I'll actually leave you with that clip, and you can decide for yourself which side you agree with more. All right, this has been The Week in Doubt, and here's that clip.
Obviously the perfect person to have here today. You study this all the time, the mind of crazy people who do horrible things. I'm always interested to know how people like the people we caught today up in Boston can have two minds going at the same time. I mean, if you read what the older brother wrote on his on the internet, he said his worldview, Islam, personal priorities, career, and money. And we see this a lot. I mean, the 9/11 hijackers went to strip clubs the night before they got on the plane.
But could I just interject? Look, it's not like people who are Muslim who do wacky things have a monopoly on it. We have hypocrites across faiths, Jewish, Christian, who say they're out for God and they end up doing
things. You know what? That's liberal bullshit right there. I mean, yes,
there are no Christian hypocrites.
No, there are.
You made
they're
a career
just,
on that.
They're not as dangerous. I mean, there's only one faith, for example, that kills you or wants to kill you if you draw a bad cartoon of the prophet. There's only one faith that kills you or wants to kill you if you renounce the faith. An ex-Muslim is a very dangerous thing. Talk to Salman Rushdie after the show about Christian versus Islam. So, you know, I'm just saying, let's keep it real.
Well, I guess I have a girl for you, Pam Geller, you could maybe meet. No, I really disagree.
I don't know what that means.
Well, she's an Islamophobe, but I'm
not an Islamophobe, that's wrong. I am a truth lover. All religions are not alike. As many people have pointed out, the Book of Mormon, did you see the show?
No, it's hard to get tickets.
Okay, can you imagine if they did the Book of Islam? Could they do that? There's only one religion that threatens violence and carries it out for things like that. Could they do the Book of Islam on Broadway?
Possibly so, but...
Possibly so. Tell me what color the sky is in your world.
Here's my difficulty with your premise here, Bill, and that is, look at how religions over history have had things done in their name that have been terrible.
Absolutely.
Right.
But we're not in history. We're in 2013.
Right, but what I would tell you...
You're right. During the Middle Ages, I would say Christianity was the bigger problem.
If I may, though. You are making an error in that Islam has over 1.4 billion adherents. There's a heterogeneity to it. Are there extremists who are horrible people who would slit your throats? Yes, but there are also folks that are fine, upstanding people.
Of course.
And I'm very worried that you have a national audience where we're promoting Islamic hatred.
No, you're wrong about that. And you're wrong about your facts. Now, obviously, most Muslim people are not terrorists. But ask most Muslim people in the world, if you insult the prophet, do you have what's coming to you? It's more than just a fringe element.
I disagree with you. I think what
you're wrong.
Well, no, I'll never be invited back.
No, you're invited back. We like debate here.
Bless you.
But wait, you know what? Let's get off this because I have so much I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
And we can talk about this another
time. We can agree to disagree, though.
We can agree to disagree.
My kid's dentist is not going to blow anything up, you know? If you look at all...
I don't know what that means either.
What I'm saying is my kid's dentist is a fine, upstanding Muslim. I have students... I have students...
I am not contending that your dentist is not a fine, upstanding Muslim.
I have
Muslim
students that are Muslim that are abused and victimized who are perfectly fine people. And what bothers me is for the sake of a joke here...
But to not recognize... It's not for the sake of a joke. It's for the sake of the truth. To not recognize that one religion behaves differently and incites people in their religion...
At this time.
But we live in this time.
Right, but there are also political, nationalistic influences.
Let me ask you some other things,
sure,
because you're an expert on these matters. This person who did this, the older brother, said that he had not a single American friend. Why do you think that is?
Because he's a jerk. This is the most welcoming country in the world. You go to France, you go to England, and look how they marginalize their immigrant communities. We embrace them. Maybe instead of blowing, right. maybe instead of blowing up people, right. he should have tried to meet the Chinese student who is a student over in Boston.
Oh, good. We agree on something.
Yes, absolutely. Asking.